Welcome to the United States of America. The United States of America, the USA, is a very big country. The rivers and mountains are big, and the population is big. There are big cities, a lot of big houses, and big cars. People have big dreams, too. Everyone wants to live the American dream, the idea that anyone who works hard can become successful and rich. It is a dream that really happens for some people, but it happens more often in movies and books. Many immigrants have gone to the USA, hoping they will become one of the lucky ones. Almost all Americans understand that they live in a country with a very interesting history and are proud of their traditions. They celebrate special holidays, like Thanksgiving Day and the 4th of July, with parades and fireworks, which millions of people watch on TV. The big national sports are also watched by millions on TV. American football and baseball are the most popular U.S. sports. And because most Americans love success, they really celebrate when their team wins. The best sports people become national heroes. To other people, Americans can sometimes seem loud, proud, and a little crazy. But millions of visitors go to the USA every year, and many people return again and again. This book will take you on a journey from the discovery of the New World over 500 years ago to the present day. From the wild forests to the busy cities, welcome to the United States of America. Chapter 1. Freedom. In the 15th century, the richest European countries wanted to find new water routes to Asia because they wanted to trade, buy or sell things, with other countries and become richer. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain sent explorers, men looking for new lands and routes for ships, across the oceans to find a western route to Asia. One of these men was the explorer Christopher Columbus, born in Italy, but who worked for the Spanish king and queen. He arrived in the Bahamas, island southeast of Florida, on October 12, 1492. There, he met people who painted their bodies and wore animal skins. He called the native people Indians because he thought he was in India, and they continued to be wrongly called Indians for more than 400 years. Today, they are called Native Americans. 7 years later, in 1499, another Italian explorer working for the Spanish sailed along the coast of South America. His name was Amerigo Vespucci, and this is where the name America comes from. In 1609, an Englishman called Henry Hudson became the first explorer to sail up a river that is now the Hudson River in New York City. He worked for a large trading company called the Dutch East India Company, and soon after this, Dutch people began to settle on the new continent. At the same time, Europeans also went to Africa to buy people. These people were then shipped to North and South America and sold to farmers. When the Africans arrived, they became slaves, people without freedom, who had to work for no money and do what they were told. They had to work very hard on the coffee, tobacco, cotton, and sugar plantations, which were very large farms. Some worked in white people's houses, where they cooked, cleaned, and took care of children. More than 10 million Africans were shipped to America over 300 years. Families could not stay together, and so husbands lost wives, and parents lost children. The slaves did not go to school, so most of them could not read or write. Their lives were very hard. Some slaves were owned by people who were kind, but many were not. People went to North America for different reasons. 102 people left England for the new continent because they wanted religious freedom. These people were known as pilgrims, and they arrived in 1620 on a ship called the Mayflower. The place where they first arrived became a very important symbol in the history of the country's fight for freedom. The rock that they first walked on in Plymouth, Massachusetts, is called Plymouth Rock. Life for the pilgrims was difficult. The weather was very cold, and there were dangerous wild animals. Many people died. But the pilgrims could own land and live better lives than they had in Europe. At the end of the first year, the local people, the Native Americans, and the English settlers celebrated with a large meal together to give thanks that they were still alive. At first, the Native Americans were happy to help the settlers. They taught them how to grow native plants for food and medicine, where to find wild animals for meat, and how to use animal fur for clothes. But the relationship between the Native Americans and settlers changed when more and more settlers arrived and took more land. There were terrible wars between the Native Americans and the settlers. In 1624, the Dutch settled New Amsterdam on the Hudson River. Later, in 1664, King Charles of England gave orders to his men to take New Amsterdam from the Dutch. The Dutch settlers were unhappy with the Dutch government, so they did not fight very hard when King Charles's brother, the Duke of York, took the settlement from them. He then changed its name to New York. In the 18th century, there were 13 colonies on the east coast of the continent. England, at that time the richest and strongest country in the world, ruled these colonies. The 13 colonies later became these states: Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. By 1763, King George III and his British government expected the colonists to help British soldiers living in the colonies. The colonists had to give the soldiers food and a bed. This was expensive, and the colonists were very unhappy. The British government also expected the colonists to pay taxes on tea, coffee, wine, and sugar. On December 16, 1773, about 100 colonists decided to show King George what they thought of his tax on tea. They went to Boston Harbor at night, where there were three British ships full of tea. The men dressed as Native Americans and threw all of the tea into the water. In American history, this important event is known as the Boston Tea Party. King George was angry, and he closed Boston Harbor. The colonists began to prepare for war against England. One colonist, Thomas Jefferson, wrote a very famous document called the Declaration of Independence. In it, he said that the colonies were a new and independent country. On July 4, 1776, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and some other men signed the Declaration of Independence at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson wrote, "All men are created equal," and he wrote about man's right to life, liberty, freedom, and happiness. Men on horses took the document to colonial towns and read it to the people. Now King George was angrier than ever with the colonists, and he sent more soldiers with guns across the Atlantic Ocean to New York. General George Washington and his army of colonists were waiting for them. France and Spain joined Washington and the colonists in the long American War of Independence against Britain. Many people died in the American War of Independence, but in 1783, the war ended and a new country was born, the United States of America. The people were no longer colonists. They were Americans. Some colonists who did not want independence and who fought with the British Army against their colonial neighbors escaped to Britain or Canada. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and other important colonial leaders wrote the Constitution of the United States of America in 1787. The Constitution is the government document that said that the new government was a democracy, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. George Washington became the first president, and John Adams was his vice president. The USA grew larger by buying land from other countries and by winning land in wars. In the North, cities grew quickly, and trade and business made many people rich. In the South, there were lots of big farms, and farming made many people rich there. Between 1793 and 1861, over 800,000 slaves were sent from the northern states to the South to work on farms. Africans continued to be slaves for many more years. Slavery did not end until another war was fought, the American Civil War, a war between the states of the North and the South. After this war ended in 1865, slaves were free, and some African American men worked in the government. But it took almost 100 years before African Americans had equal rights in the USA. Life in the USA also continued to be very bad for the Native Americans. Many died trying to protect their land and their families, but they were losing the fight. In 1831, the U.S. government had started to move Native Americans to reservations, pieces of land for Native Americans only, so that they could take their land. The long journey to the reservations, often in very cold weather and without food, killed many men, women, and children. Sitting Bull, a brave leader of the Lakota Sioux tribe, brought many tribes together to stop the U.S. Army from taking their land in South Dakota. When General George Custer and the U.S. Army arrived at Little Bighorn on June 25, 1876, Sitting Bull was waiting with 2,000 to 3,000 tribesmen. General Custer and 267 soldiers were killed that day. The U.S. government sent thousands more soldiers. They wanted Sitting Bull to tell his tribes to stop fighting. Sitting Bull left and went to Canada. When he returned to the USA, he stopped fighting the U.S. Army. On December 15, 1890, Sitting Bull was killed when U.S. police officers tried to take him to prison. 2 weeks later, the U.S. Army went to Wounded Knee, South Dakota, and killed 150 Lakota men, women, and children. The USA has always been a country with a lot of immigration. After the Civil War, many Americans left their homes in the East and went to Western states, where they could buy cheaper farmland. Another 12 million immigrants, many from the South and West of Europe, arrived between 1892 and 1924. People wanted to live the American dream, the idea that those who work hard could find success and get rich. In 1850, there were fewer than 20 millionaires in the USA. But by 1900, there were 40,000. The 1920s were a time of wild spending and a lot of fun for many Americans. But on October 24, 1929, everything changed when there were terrible financial problems and the U.S. dollar crashed. The years that followed are known in history as the Great Depression, which left many thousands of people without money, jobs, homes, or food. By 1933, millions of people had no work, and they wanted a new president. President Franklin D. Roosevelt was that man, and he promised to help Americans find jobs. Roosevelt spent government money on programs for rebuilding the country. American workers got jobs building roads, airports, and schools. And by 1943, 9 million Americans were better off.